The thought I have for tonight is the thrill we get in missionary work. But I'm not going to start there, but that's where we're going to, is what is the thrill of missionary work. First of all, if you want to be a missionary, power to you. If you don't want to be a missionary, watch out, God might catch you. That's kind of what happened to me. Going back to 2001 was a turn for us in the work in the area where I work in the Congo. And we were behind enemy lines and were pretty much in a dire situation. We were surrounded by the rebels where we were staying. I was quite sick. My colleague, who's Congolese, did not think we'd come out alive, nor him nor me. Neither did some of the others that were there. The one person that was used by the Lord to save my life was a Catholic sister. I'll show her picture around, just pass it along. It's the black lady on the picture. And that really put an impression upon the Congolese brethren, even on the population. Other churches are saying, but where are our missionaries? There was none, nobody. No Baptists, no Pentecostals, no Methodists, only the brethren. And that left an impression. And now we're coming to the thrill of missionary work. This is what every missionary lives for. And the last few trips have been, have been enjoyable with the souls that came. And especially the last trip, it was such that one man cried out, he says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now that we know all this? And as you would have to be there to feel the thickness of the air, heavy with repentance and conviction. It was just there. And many, many came to the Lord. It was very enjoyable. And this is the thrill of a missionary. This is what we live for. And this is what makes it all worth the while. Now, not to tire you too much with a lot of speaking, if you have any questions, please either raise your hand or whatever way you want to do it. Okay, that's kind of silent. So, where do we go from here? Either you don't know anything, or you just... There's a hand up there, go ahead. Or you're just scratching your head.
Hey.
I think when you're in missionary work, you're really very much given to prayer. I think that's what helped us. The one sister that's circulating here on the picture, I read her a psalm because we're in the same situation. It was a psalm that spoke to my heart while I was in that dire situation, and it brought tears to her eyes. It was like, yeah, that was it. That was where we were. And the Lord brought us out. So I think when it comes to mental stress, whether it is physical or whatever it is, I think the prayer life becomes vital. That's a long story, but it goes back to, what year was that? It was early 90s. Like I said earlier, I had no interest in missionary work because my dad is a missionary and I knew all that comes with that. And over a different span of 15 years, I had one brother check me out to see if my head was screwed on right. And he says, well, I think you should go in the ministry. And I said, well, I don't think so. I was just a young fella, 17 years old. He says, I'll be praying for you. And I said, you pray all you want. It was a big, and he was a big American like he was, you know, like a real bushman. I said, no, pray all you want. I was about 15 years later, I was flying up north in Canada as a bush pilot. And he says, another Christian fellow, he says, Andrew, have you ever thought of missions? Ah, that's not for me. Well, you know, have you got any debts? That's the question he asked me. He said, no, I've got no debts. What I got is what I got. That's it. Well, I think you should consider the ministry. I said, no, not for me. I'll pray for you. I said, well, power to you. So then it came one Sunday afternoon. I was at home after the meeting. I was reading a book, as I usually do. And I had promised a friend of mine to help him with some stuff he had to get done. But he lives way up in the country. I walk out door, got a flat tire. And where I had to go was bad road, so I said, well, I'm not going with a little spare tire out there. So I phoned him and said, sorry, you can't come. And I met somebody else from Wycliffe Bible Translators, and they explained they needed pilots. I said, well, and before that I had been reading some verses that spoke to my heart, so my heart was kind of halfway prepared. I said, well, if it's the way, at least I'll give it a try. But the first opportunity I see to bail out, I'll bail out. So I started corresponding with Wycliffe, and that went well. And then another brother says, who was looking for a pilot, you talk to Andrew. Andrew, no, no. Well, they contacted me. Andrew, you want to go to Africa? Uh-uh. No, 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 no. If I wanted to go there, I would have been there. Well, why don't you take a look? So I went, took a look in 93. What do you think? Well, I can do it. It's not that, can't see any difference between the north of Canada and Africa. It looks kind of similar, you know? So I thought, well, there's not much difference there, so besides climate, but other than that, it's the same. So I said, yeah, I can do it. So that's kind of how I got into it. My heart was already prepared with the Lord had worked my heart, spoken through His Word, brought people on my way. And then I kind of got into it. In the war, we lost the aircraft, but the only thing that changed was the means of transportation. So I'm still doing pretty much a similar work, only now we're on a motorbike and no longer flying by air. It has given the opportunity to be more in touch with the people on the ground, as to see how we go through a lot of difficulty to meet with them and reach out to them, and they say, boy, they're serious, those people, those brethren, they're serious. And so we even get other people from other churches come and listen to when we speak to see what we have to say. So it's really with the start of the rebel period and being sold, that difficulty has really opened the doors for the assemblies. Other questions? Yeah, that's a question for my wife. She keeps track of all that. I just go around and there's a good number of them. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I don't keep track of that. But it's a big area. Okay. In English? How do you overcome racial or cultural differences when preaching the gospel or ministering to others? Well, I'm pretty much part of the family, pretty much married into the tribe. I don't have immediate relationships where I go, but I have some long distance relationships there that are not in fellowship with us, but I do have family there. So they see me pretty much as one of them. And so I'm not really considered an outsider. I'm pretty much part of the family. So I don't know how to answer that question, because I don't think we have racial or cultural differences.
Maybe at first was it hard?
No, I think it's all, they observe you, eh? They will observe you and see how you are. And if you are fair to them and honest with them, then, and be on the same level with them, not just being the one that's teaching and preaching, but like myself on the last trip also asked questions. And not only questions because I know the answer, also because I have questions that are challenging to me. So sitting there was a group of fairly young, similar age as you guys. And I say, now how's your prayer life? I want to know how their prayer life is, because they will tell you a little bit. Oh, that's good. Well, don't you struggle? Oh, no, prayer life's good. I said, but I sometimes get discouraged. Don't you get discouraged? Oh, no, we get the answers all the time. So, well, then I got a job for you. I got I got some requests. Oh, we'll pray for you. Don't you worry. We'll get it all in order. But they're very young in the faith. There's a very young assembly, very young in the faith, very energetic, and very happy in a sense. But there you put yourself and say, no, I don't find it so easy. And there you kind of, hey, we're together as Christians. You pray for me, I pray for you. It's all, does it answer your question a little bit?
Andrew, what language are you using?
Over there I speak in French, and then my colleague who lives there, who's Congolese, he translates into the Kikela or Tetela language. And yeah, a lot of them know French because that's the language they teach in school. So that works well, yeah.
Scripture that really was helpful to you at the stage of knowing from the Lord.
Yeah, but I like to keep that private, and I keep that to myself. So if you don't mind, well, I think because it's a personal exercise for each one, and I think it's a great help, and it's also a conviction for the one individual that he has something from the Lord, especially for him, that he goes back upon when things are tough. Because every missionary will get into times where things are tough. But there you have to go back to your convictions and know what you have is from him, and that's it. So that's why I say it's a personal thing, and I think it's well to keep to yourselves, because you could also put it out and others may try to mock you with it.
And I appreciate your answer. I will reword my question. I think I asked, do you have a verse, not the verse? Do you have a verse that can be of help to us to know how the Lord can use a verse?
I think when a young person looks to the Lord, he will use, the Lord himself will use scripture and circumstances, and he'll make the person ready, even if he doesn't want to be. Like myself, from the beginning, I already said as a kid, my dad's a missionary, it's good for him, not for me. I want no part of that. Because, yeah, it's when you know mission work, you know what comes with it. Back there.
Have you ever had any threats against you anywhere?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say, you know. It's pardon? Oh yeah, I already forgot about that one. But like, I mean, you're in a country that is almost like downtown Toronto, you know. It's like you're driving. I was driving one night with my brother-in-law, and here's a guy on his motorbike with a pistol up at, you know. And so these are little things that you say, well, yeah, okay. Could happen downtown Toronto, you know. But really my life in danger, I think more of certain situations, but not necessarily says, no, I'm going to cloak here, no.
What topics do you usually study when you are there with the people?
That's a good question. And it's really an exercise that I take very seriously before the Lord, because I really don't know, and I keep it kind of to myself when I go. And even the last topic, I didn't know until almost the last maybe a few weeks before, and it was on 2 Peter and Jude. Now, we did not do a comparative study, but when we, and this was nice, because when we read the scripture on 2 Peter and Jude, the one brother says, Andrew, you must have been looking with binoculars from where you were to see what was going on over here. And this is deep in the forest. So it hit home. It hit home, and you could see when scripture was presented at the conference, it knocked the wind right out of them. It was like the knockout blow. And that's when we could feel the spirit of repentance and the conviction, and that's when they say, and it was really moving to be there. It was really, you could just feel it, that it was something else. So it was kind of a knockout blow, but it's really, you look to the Lord and you try to find what is necessary for the moment. Oh, no problem. Yeah. I mean, oh, no. It's quite favorable that way. I mean, you go in an area where there's no outsider that goes there. So already that somebody comes out that way is quite nice. I mean, I don't know where you're from, but if you're in a small assembly and you get a visitor, you're quite happy. So, no, it's good. Yeah, do you want to me to answer that as an African or as a Canadian? I'm kind of used to the living conditions over there. So for me, it's all right. But if you come along, you might say, give me the next plane home. You know, so it's all, yeah, there's no electricity, no running water, there's the outhouse still, you know, things like that. Food is good. Food's very good. He's smiling when I say that, he knows what I eat.
Yeah,
there's more than a few. The thing to pray for is first of all, those that got saved, that they may be courageous to stand firm. There's always, especially in the beginning, where the forces of darkness still try to intimidate, still try to put fear in people, but that goes away with time. But that they have to know and see. And so there is a period from just conversion to be totally left alone, that those forces will flee. Especially in the beginning, you will see that they are really intimidated and being disturbed, so to speak. So you can pray for that they have strength and courage to stand there. And also, there is much now that they call false prophets, but really that is what we used to call witch doctors. They've just given themselves another name, now they call themselves prophets, and they tend to do pretty much the same thing as they did before, but a lot of people are running after them, looking for healing for this or that, and of course not to be found. So yeah, the forces of darkness are real there, is real. But the church is growing also. So
What's the main type of ministry do you do? Do you do a lot of like speaking like this, or do you do a lot of conferences or one-on-one discussions or door-to-door?
A little bit of everything you mentioned, but not door-to-door. What we do, yeah, we have conferences. But we also sit down just under the stars, you know. We'll sit down till 11 o'clock at night just talking. They ask questions, we share. We're just family, you know. Just family, and we speak on things that concern us. So it's pretty much like that. Very casual, but very serious as well. Can I say?
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
One time you told me that you had the topic of Proverbs 6 around that.
I think I went all through Proverbs. Uh-huh. All through Proverbs. And we liked it. And I thought at the time it was the right thing to go through. I believed Proverbs was the right thing for the young folks that were there. It was very easy to understand. I think it was very effective. And yeah, so I think with every subject we take, there's a time for everything. And I think you pretty much have to look before the Lord, what has He got in mind? And you run with it. So.
And what happened to that young man who was going wrong? Everybody was convicted by the study, and they all thought of that young man. What happened to him later?
What young man was that?
Yeah, he was here.
Oh, he was a little bit older. What shall I do? The one that said, what shall we do? What shall we do?
No. It was a different story. All the sisters knew that he had been unfaithful or something.
Oh, yeah, him.
And you studied Proverbs 6, and then all.
He is still now walking a funny walk. Yeah, he came back to his wife. That was a good thing. But still, like I asked one brother, I say, how's he doing? Well, you see how he walks? Uh-huh. Well, okay. You can pretty much tell by the way one walks. So, yeah. So the black sister, Catholic sister, she gave me needles, and I just saw on the last trip again, and she was kind of nice that way, picking me with needles, but anyway. What you got?
Okay. Well, we need to take some time over at the booths.
Okay.
And we want to take a look at all of the different areas that the Lord is using, and so let's take our time and let's talk there to the different ones, and let's learn about what the Lord is doing